Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports, brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
Pedro, let me tell you congratulations on your long time in radio. You are your team and for your ratings, man. I was reading about that. I'm very impressed with you, Pedro.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another, but I'm going to get the job done.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 35, 36, no, make that 37 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Welcome to Ring Talk. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Thank you for spending some time with us. Of course, you can be doing a million things right now. The fact that you're here listening to Sports Byline, well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. But I will deliver. We've got one good hour, of course, today. The Saturday show is an hour at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Live, of course, on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. You can watch us on Twitch.tv if you like. So there's 1,000 different platforms you can watch or listen to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on. Of course, the Saturday edition is 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's a one-hour show. The Sunday edition, 2 hours, is 11 a.m. Pacific time. Of course, 2 hours live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and a plethora of other internet platforms. Now, later today, I'll bring in, of course, you know, everything's been a bit of a bummer right now. I don't know if you know about California, but like we're having the worst air pollution we've ever had in our life. I mean, the other day you couldn't see outside the house when you look outside the door, so things are bad. So I'm going to try to pick things up on a happy note, bring in Muhammad Ali after the break and let him do his thing and see if he can bring some humor to a non-humorous situation. Bottom line is we need to have some laugh and some humor, and I think Ali can deliver that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts.
Really knocks me out, girl, the clothes that you wear, the style of your hair, the way that you fare, under all conditions, your mind, all of the time. So wonderful, so marvelous, girl, you're everything to me.
Here comes the decision now, let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent, sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
He has done it! We have a new heavyweight champion in the world!
I am the greatest! Kid who will take old man Lister's type away. Me, a little old kid who don't even shave yet. I'm going to be champ of the world before I'm old enough to do my first shaving commercial. And I'm going to make boxing popular again. Me, with my beautiful, colorful personality. I'm going to make boxing interesting. Boxing doesn't have to be dull. It's the fighters who are dull. I watched the fight of the week on TV. They call that the fight of the week? It was so boring, every time the bell rang, it woke up the referee. It hurts me to say this because I know a lot of fighters, and I like them. They are nice, gentle guys who wouldn't hurt anybody, not even in the ring. And I'm going to bring back the excitement in boxing. I'm going to be the heavyweight champion of the world, and I won't be satisfied with that. After becoming champion of the world, I'm going to become champion of the universe. I want to take on those little green men from Venus. Those slick, shiny-headed green men. I can lick them. I won't be afraid of the way they look. After all, they can't look no worse than Sonny Liston. Yes, America, I'm the resurrector of the fight game. I'm going to save boxing. I'm going to bring boxing back to life. Fighting was dull until I came along, because the greatest wasn't around. But time brings about a change. As the earth rotates around the sun, a change takes place. There's spring, summer, fall, and winter. Boxing was at the winter stage. But now the flowers are blooming. Spring is coming. I am on the horizon. Liston's fall will mark the arrival of spring. Yes, there's going to be a new champion. A champion you can tell your kids to be like. I'm a perfect idol for the kids. I'm good looking, clean living, cultured, and I am modest. I am so modest I can admit my own fault. My only fault is I don't realize how great I really am. It's hard to be humble when you are as great as I am. I'm the new frontier of boxing, and boxing must move ahead. I'm going to win the championship with vigor. That's part of my physical fitness program. All Sonny Liston's got is a physical fatness program. And with my vigor, I'm going to ask Congress to help Mr. Liston. I will ask them to pass a health bill. Because after old Mr. Liston fights me, he's going to need Medicare. And if I hit him in the mouth, he's going to need Denticare. Yes, I'm going to move boxing ahead. I don't ask what boxing can do for me, I ask what I can do for boxing. Because I am great. I am the greatest. And I can even tell the truth about the future. To prove this point, I would like to read one of the many masterpieces I wrote this afternoon. My Prophecies by Cassius Clay. When Cassius says a fight will go 5 rounds, the bell for the 6th just never sounds. When I tangled with Archie, I predicted 4. And that's all there was. There wasn't any more. When they queried me about the Cooper bout, I answered with Shakespearean thrift. When they asked me what round I knocked Henry out, I answered, Henry the 5th.
Straight up, of course, nothing brings humor to my soul than Muhammad Ali. Just being social. I'm just having some fun. It was sort of good to open up with that lightness. Because, of course, the world is so dark. I'm serious. The world is dark out here in California. It was so bad the day before yesterday. We had the street lights on at 9 o'clock in the morning. And it was like it was 10 o'clock at night. I kid you not. It was pretty creepy. Pretty creepy, pretty scary. But the bottom line is we're here to rock and roll, talk boxing and MMA for the next hour. Of course, we will now bring in boxing's only PhD from the Bronx. We'll talk about Mr. Socrates Palmer himself. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, my brother. How are you feeling?
Doing just fine. Of course, today is the 83rd birthday of George Favala. I want to mention that, the Canadian Crusher. Of course, fought Muhammad Ali twice, fought everybody. I don't think he was ever... Was he ever knocked down? He was never knocked down, was he?
To my knowledge, no. I think did Frazier? No. I get him confused with Bonavena. No. To my knowledge, I think he's considered one of the best chins in the history of the heavyweight division.
And you know what's funny is that he can probably do the New York Times crossword puzzle. I mean, he's a sharp dude. I remember when he was a chubby guy back in the 90s, he was a chubby dude. And we were at the International Boxing Hall of Fame. And he said to me, hey, would you like to go to dinner? And I'm saying, wow, George Favala wants to take me to dinner? Well, of course, I was paying. But anyway, yeah, let's go. So we all went. Like there was like 8 or 10 of us. We went and he ordered some shrimp. And these shrimp, they came on a plate. We were in upstate New York, and he ordered, I'm not kidding you, it was 125 shrimp. And the reason why I know it was 125 shrimp, because he told the lady he wanted 125 shrimp. I kid you not. And they weren't little shrimps. They were like, they were pretty big. So anyway, he's grubbing, and he's talking about Ali, and he's talking about, of course, the tragedies that happened in his lifetime and everything like that. But he was so sharp. And still to this day, I saw an interview with him a couple of days ago. Still to this day, he's articulate as hell, man. This guy could be doing boxing commentary on TV, and I have no idea why they've just ignored him for years, because he was a good announcer at one point in time. Still is. Still can be.
Yeah, I mean, he was not an ugly guy. Very surprised that he didn't make that crossover into broadcasting. I mean, I'm not really sure on Canadian TV, but you know, you wonder why he wasn't a star after boxing.
Well, I think the stereotype, you know, Jerry Corey was an excellent blow-by-blow and expert commentary. He could do them both. He could work both sides of the mic at one point in time. He didn't know it, but he could. And then, of course, you know, he got to the point where he couldn't remember his name. So, of course, the residual effects of combat sports. But Jerry was sharp. But anyway, enough said. Talk to me about Teofimo Lopez. We just heard Muhammad Ali being such a personality and this and that. Boxing is hurting for personalities right now. Do you think Teofimo Lopez might be coming along right at the perfect time for the boxing game?
Well, it's star. You know, boxing recycles itself, and stars are, you know, when stars retire and stars are made. And Teofimo Lopez has everything going for him. He can dominate both cultures. The Latino culture and the American culture. He's born here. He's a guy that's not shy.
Really?
And he can fight. he can fight, which is the most important thing. You know, he could back up what he says, and he will be in the spotlight. You know, the fight that he and his father have called for the last couple of years, and he can be a superstar overnight if he wins in spectacular fashion.
12 rounds.
Arguably the best fighter.
Okay. 12 rounds, October 17th. Of course, Vasily Lomachenko, 14-1 with 10 stops. Teofimo Lopez, 15-0 with 12 stops. Lomachenko makes guys quit. That's how I got most of my stops. Actually, they weren't quit, but the referee would stop it or the doctor would stop it. It was always stopped in the corner. I only got a few knockouts, per se. But Lomachenko, he makes guys quit in the corner, man. I mean, that's how, he just takes their will and their heart away from them.
He is just one of the few fighters that not only are brilliantly with their defense, but tremendous pressure fighters. I mean, he is two steps ahead of you. His footwork is amazing. He could pop. He likes to fight. He fights very well in the pocket. And he's the type of guy that he gets, I think, there's a lot of pride in him, and he almost feels slighted when he gets hit back, you know. And he bring, like when he got dropped, when he fought Linares, it was almost like a beast awakened in him, and he came back and took it to Linares. So he is probably in a handful of the best fighters I've ever seen. I mean, I'm only 42, so I can only go so far back. But Teofimo Lopez has his hands full. But boxing is about timing. You know, you catch a guy at the right moment. Lomachenko has shown vulnerability his last couple of fights when he fought Campbell. Like I said earlier, he's dropped by Linares. So it could be just a perfect night for Teofimo Lopez, and he's going to have to be perfect to beat Lomachenko.
No doubt about that. But, of course, Lomachenko getting knocked down by Linares. You mentioned Linares' fight. Was that a fluke, or was that something of the future? You hear what I'm saying? In other words, was the China finally cracked? Does it finally have a crack in the cup?
No, because Linares is a heck of a fighter in his own right. You know, Linares, just if he had a little, literally tougher skin, would probably be a big, you know, would probably tougher skin and a better chin would be better. So Linares is a tough guy. I don't think it's a crack in the arm. I think he just got clipped by a really talented fighter in Linares.
Boxing news after the break. The Charlo twins, of course, coming on pay-per-view. Oh. Guess how much? $74.95. Alan Minter passed away, the former world middleweight champion. Lots of things to talk about with the PhD of boxing after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, baby.
Never felt this way before. No, I know I want you to see. heard you arrest some white drivers.
I do.
You do? Well, where are they? Look at all these niggas in here. Look around here. There's enough niggas in here to make a Tarzan movie.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Clap your hands, sir. Stop being racist. Clap your hands.
Fred D. Sanford discussing police relations with the black community some 40 years ago on network television. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, the Charlo brothers, like them or love them, they're pretty significant stars in the world of boxing as far as 2020 is concerned. And on Saturday, September 26, 2020, they go live on pay-per-view at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock out here in the West, of course. It's a big card, but is it worth $74.95? So we bring that to the PHC of boxing. I push that question to you. Is this fight card worth $74.95?
I never knock an athlete for trying to get paid, but I have no problem knocking a promoter for trying to rob people. I mean, that is, you got to have your head examined. In this climate, yeah.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's just it. I mean, nobody's got any money. I'm broke. Cuddy's broke. You're probably broke. Everybody's broke. You know what I'm saying? We got $80 to spend on a fight. So listen, when they do this, I think all they do is ensure that more people steal the fight. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to steal the fight, but I'm just telling you, people are going to be watching the fight from Istanbul and Turkey and this and that in Turkish. You hear where I'm coming from?
1,000% agree. It's like, really? It's like tying up a dog with a leash. Instead of using a leash, you're using a sausage rope. Like, what are you trying to do here? I mean, you're trying to create quote unquote stars, and then you're going to limit their visibility by putting it on pay per view. I thought, you know, PBC had a good thing. I mean, they're not the greatest cards, but you know, they have Fox and all these different outlets carrying their stuff. Pay-per-view. I guess these guys are commanding big dollars, and they're, I guess, maybe showing them that they're not big stars. Like when maybe if they get 50,000 buys, they'll be lucky.
Yeah, so here's what's up: Jermall Charlo, 30-0 in the main event, taking on Sergey Derevchenko, 13-2 with 10 stops. How can I put this? This doesn't even smell pay-per-view. It doesn't even smell like HBO Boxing After Dark. It doesn't even smell all that competitive. It smells like Charlo's going to roll on this guy. This guy's a mark.
Yeah, I mean, then again, what fighters fighting today are pay-per-view worthy fighters? I mean,
okay,
Pacquiao.
Okay, so here's a good one for you. Charlo needs to fight Canelo. I mean, that's what's going on. That's what should have been going on here. I don't know why these guys are going in different directions. You want to make some money, step up and fight Canelo. I think if he wanted to fight Canelo, if Al Haymon said, you know what, let's put a fight together, I think that Canelo's team, prior to the loss, that we'll get to that in a second, they might have been game to put that together.
That is a fight that, in a normal environment, they put that in Houston, they sell out that Minute Maid Stadium that the Astros play in. Mm-hmm. And when the same place where Canelo smoked Kirkland, it's a natural fight, you know, for that to happen in that place. And you brought it up. The biggest news in boxing is lawsuit, you know, with Canelo and DAZN, and just not good for the sport of boxing when his biggest star is not going to fight in 2020.
And here's what's up. What he doesn't understand is this is akin to the Muhammad Ali layoff of the draft thing. You hear where I'm coming from? Because this is taking away his prime. This is eating right into his prime. We'll talk about Saul Canelo Alvarez, once beaten fighter, of course, in Mexico, considered the pay-per-view king. Of course, the 168-pound champion, 160-pound champion, depending on who you talk to. But he's a star of boxing, and of course, he wants his $35 million. I think they wanted to give him half of that, or $20 million, and he's suing Oscar and DAZN. You know, there's another guy I think that's reaching a little bit too far in this world of greed right now, because we just don't have. There just isn't the money there to pay this dude. I mean, DAZN's not giving me my money back, I don't think, and I've been complaining about the fact there's no programming on DAZN for the most part.
Yeah, 100%. They're not keeping up the end of the bargain. They had a good show the other day with Povetkin and Dillian White.
Yeah.
Those are too far and few between. I mean, for the price that they're asking, they should be pumping out content on a weekly basis, even if it's mediocre stuff, but it's still, you know, it's program, it's content. Canelo, people that are smarter than me, they're all saying that a contract's a contract, and Canelo, this doesn't seem like Canelo's going to be able to win this or get out of his contract with DAZN and Golden Boy at this point. So,
well, good luck to him, but it sounds like greed to me. When you're messing around with your prime, here's what's up. Your prime is gone. You look back and you're like 10, 15 years in the rearview mirror and you realize, man, that's when I was hot. That's when I was that's when I was in my prime and things weren't happening for me. So, you know, bad timing for Canelo Alvarez. Of course, the coronavirus, everything like that, shutting down the world of sports to an extent. But he could do some studio fights and make almost $20 million. Doesn't want to do it. Anyway, let's go through the top-ranked schedule for October. October 3rd, Jose Zepeda, 32-2, taking on Ivan Baranchuk, 20-1. Of course, these guys are going junior welterweight. That's ESPN+. The 9th, Emmanuel Navarrete, the stud, moving up to 126 pounds. The former WBA 122-pound champion, 28 KOs, taking on Ruben Vila, 18-0 with 5 KOs. Why does Ruben sound like a mark to me? The MGM Grand for the vacant WBO 126-pound title. That's going to go down on ESPN and ESPN Deportes. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 o'clock out here in the West. And, of course, the 17th, Lomachenko, Teofimo Lopez. The 23rd, Artur Bitabev. And 15-0 with 15 KOs, taking on Adam Dinas, who is 19-1 with a draw and 10 whacks. Of course, that's going to come to us from Moscow. 12 rounds for the WBC and IBF light heavyweight titles, 175 pounds, coming to us on ESPN Plus and ESPN. And, of course, the 31st, Halloween, baby. Halloween. It might be a nasty night for Mr. Jason Maloney. We'll find out what happens. Talk about Naoya Inoue, 19-0, 16 KOs. The Japanese terror, the Japanese killer, taking on monster. Jason Maloney. A monster, no doubt about that. Taking on Jason Maloney, 21-1, 18 KOs. What fight stands? That's going to be the MGM Grand, ESPN+. Plus. Of all those fights, what stands out for you?
Well, better be if... is always a great watch. The guy is just a beast. You know, you talk about monsters, that he is just so fundamentally sound and very rarely in a boring fight. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing him fight again. And, you know, you didn't mention tonight, they actually have a pretty decent card. The Mean Machine that gave Terrence Crawford all he can handle is fighting tonight. I believe they're both fighters ranked in the top 10 by the WBO. He's fighting a Canadian fighter, Zuski. Mm-hmm. It should be a decent watch. And Joette Gonzalez is coming back after his horrendous performance, getting slapped around by his brother-in-law or ex-brother-in-law, Shakur Stevenson.
That was
bad. Let's
see
if he has anything. That was horrible.
That was pretty. You know what? That was pretty bad. That was really, really bad. I mean, just as far as like Shakur Stevenson hasn't been associated with a whole lot of positive things outside of the ring. I wish he could turn himself around. Because, I mean, as far as the outside of the ring concerned, let's talk just for a second before we go to the break, of course, about Alan Minter. Man, what a solid dude he was. I mean, because the English fans were chumps, but he wasn't a chump. I mean, after Hagler beat him, he had all the respect in the world for Hagler.
Yeah, he seemed like a very classy guy, Olympic champion, very big middleweight. Rest in peace, gone at a very young age, 69 years old, and I believe his birthday was just a month ago. He will be missed, one of the big names of the late 70s and early 80s, for sure, fought pretty much everyone in his era, Vito Antifermo, Mustafa Hamsho, R.I.P. Alan Minter.
All right, in less than a minute, give you about 30 seconds on this one, Tim Zhu, the son of Kasia Zhu, how did he look to you in that fight a couple weeks ago?
He looked pretty impressive. You know, he beat up a veteran who's not the greatest talent, but always rugged, and he beat him pretty easily. So I think Tim Zhu is going to be around. He's going to be in that discussion of future of boxing.
The great Socrates Palmer on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
We're going to do something special in a couple of minutes. We're going to go to Chuck Norris talking about the death of Bruce Lee. Of course, Bruce Lee passed away July 20th, 1973. Considered the godfather, the premier, the guy that kicked it all off as far as MMA, of course, and movies concerned. Of course, the Enter the Dragon movies, I can go on and on. But the bottom line is, we'll talk about Bruce Lee in a couple of minutes. Now, we switch gears, of course, to talk about the world of the UFC. Last Saturday night, live, of course, from the Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada, on ESPN, Alistair Overeem beat up on a guy that was so fat, I couldn't believe it. Why did this guy show up in the condition he did? I have no idea. But they were talking about him being such a threat and such a killer and this and that. And I looked at this guy and I said to myself, he looks like the MMA version of Andy Ruiz, who I call Anti-Ruiz. Bottom line is, Augusto Sakai came in with such a gut, I wasn't sure if he was pregnant or just fat. But the bottom line is, Alistair Overeem just lit him up like the White House Christmas tree, and they should have stopped this fight about two rounds, maybe three rounds earlier. Another guy that's going to have residual effects from one fight in particular. I mean, he just took, I mean, talk about Sakai. He just took a beating that he shouldn't have had to take. In other words, once the fight is over, once a man is beaten, you stop the fight. The fight's over. There's no need to continue. It's like, you know, the dog is like, you're beating a whore. If you're beating an animal and the animal's down and giving up and surrendered, why do you need to continue to beat them? You don't. Only in the world of the UFC. That's just the way it goes. In the UFC, they're death matches. Dana tells you never see a towel being thrown in. How come you never see a towel being thrown in? I mean, I've thrown, having worked amateur boxing corners, I always had a towel on my hand. I mean, it wasn't like Jerry Tarkanian of the University of Las Vegas, the coach, with like biting on the towel. But I had the towel on my hand, always had the towel on my hand to throw it in case one of my guys, something was going on and the referee didn't catch it. Because a lot of times, listen, the referee's only one guy. I'm watching my guy. I'm not watching what he's doing, I'm watching what he's taking. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching to see if he gets hurt. If I got a guy getting hurt in an amateur fight, there's no sense in me. There's no moral reason to let it keep going. And I think the same thing goes in any fight. Let it be a world MMA fight, of course, on UFC. UFC needed, I guess, some rounds as far as this main event was concerned. But Sakai, the beating he took, it was just, I mean, it was horrific. That's the way I got to put it to you. It was horrific. I just know no other way to put it. And at the end of the day, Dana White should be arrested for endangering people's lives. In other words, fights are one thing. Death matches are another. Oh, man, you're just a big puss. You can't handle MMA. You're a boxing guy. You don't like MMA. No, you're wrong. I like MMA. I don't like the way the guys are beaten up and not paid. Of course, I talked about that many, many times before. If you want to talk about a pimp, don't have to go looking in Harlem for a hustler, this and that. You just got to go looking at Mr. Dana White. Anyway, bottom line is, Dana does his thing. I'm not a big fan of Dana White, but Alistair Overeem was the winner last week. Props to Alistair Overeem because he's like 40 years old now. You know, got to give him some props. He is an old man. Now, the UFC going to rock and roll tonight, of course, from the Apex Center against from Las Vegas. In the main event, strawweight, as far as the women's are concerned, I think it's 115 pounds. Michelle Waterson in one corner taking on Angela Hill in another. A couple of good fighters there as far as the females are concerned. Of course, the females always deliver in the world of mixed martial arts, unlike boxing, female boxing, because female boxing, the cards are stacked against them. I mean, because they got these 8 and 10-ounce gloves on, plus the wraps, you know, some of it was probably like 10 and a half ounces of material on one hand of a girl fighting at 140 pounds. Come on, man, that's crazy. She doesn't have the strength or the leverage to punch with a 10-ounce glove. Just doesn't happen, not even an 8-ounce glove. So it should be 4-ounce gloves and 6-ounce gloves for women's professional boxers, I believe, in my mind, and it isn't that way. Anyway, Michelle Waterson, Angela Hill in the main event. There's a lightweight. I'm looking down the card. Not a whole lot of stars. Ed Herman's on the card. He's going to take on Mike Rodriguez. This could be a pretty good fight there. Rodriguez can fight as well, of course. Both he and Herman could hook it up at light heavyweight. That's going to be a part of the ESPN Plus card, of course, coming to you from Las Vegas. Check out your TV guide to see exactly what happens. But there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 fights on the card. So you MMA freaks, I mean, you're going to get your, there's no doubt about it, you're going to get your fix in tonight watching this card, of course, ESPN Plus. It'll start probably about 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. As far as Pacific time is concerned, that's when it usually starts, the fights from Las Vegas. Now, looking at the rest of the schedule, of course, Donald Trump's favorite fighter going next week, UFC Fight Night, coming to us from the last card from Las Vegas before they move back to Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, of course, a place that I've been to, and I thought it was a piss hole or a spit hole with an H. I mean, I thought it was like the worst place I had ever been in 34 countries. You can rant, you hear people ranting and raving about Dubai, this and that. Man, nothing but hookers and hookers and burkas. That was about it. No bikinis. It's just kidding. Anyway, before we go back to Dubai, we've got, of course, that one card with Tyrone Woodley, of course, a former champion, 170 pounds, taking on Kobe Covington. Kobe Covington is a bad dude, no doubt about it. Of course, he talks the Donald Trump stuff, make America great again. He's had 4 years to make America great. How come we can make it her great? He hasn't done anything. Is it any great now? I mean, I can't see out of my window when I go out of the house. It's always great. All America is always great, especially under Trump. Anyway, bottom line is Kobe Covington in the main event against Tyrone Woodley before they go back to Dubai on September 19th on ESPN. Now, the Flash Forum is what they're calling this place in Dubai. Of course, going to go back with Israel Adesanya taking on a monster. And a good thing, I guess, this monster's fighting abroad. I wonder if they're going to be checking him as far as steroids are concerned. I'm talking about Paola Costa. The guy, if this guy doesn't look like a steroid monkey, I hate to say it to you like that, but I mean, that's just my opinion. If he doesn't look like a steroid monkey, what does? I mean, the guy comes down from like 230 pounds to 185 pounds. It's incredible. He loses like 40 pounds. I kid you not. The guy loses like 40 pounds to make weight. He's a monster. I've never seen a guy hit quite as hard as he is. In fact, he's one of those guys where I was watching him. He's like 13-0, okay, with like 13 or 11 knockouts, one submission and one decision. But he's one of those guys, when he hits people, I turn my face. You know, I don't watch. I'm not one of those guys that's into the brutality of watching guys take those hammer shots time and time again. You know, once or twice, and I turn away. I just don't call me a pussy. This and that, but that's just the way it is. Anyway, Costa is no doubt about it. One bad dude, and of course, he's been the guy they've been talked about ever since he signed with the UFC that he was going to be the future champion. We'll see what's happening, but Israel Adesanya has got a lot to say about that. He is a defending champion, of course. And the light heavyweight co-feature, Dominic Reyes, is going to take on Jan Blachowicz. Blachowicz and Reyes, that's a pretty good fight at 205 pounds. And as far as the rest of the card is concerned, ho-hum, 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 ho-hum. I mean, because that's what the UFC is all about now. Ho-hum. As far as the rest of the year is concerned, Holly Holm's going to be back in action October 4th. That's on ESPN from Dubai. And, of course, the Korean Zombie is going to take on Brian Ortega from Dubai as well. Of course, that's going to go down October 18th. The pretty boy, Brian Ortega, has been off for almost 2 years. I think it'll be December 2018 when he fought Max Holloway. Of course, that was a fight I thought that took miles off his career and maybe took years off his life. I kid you not. I mean, the beating he took, and it was no. Here's what's up. Once a guy's beat, he's beat. That's it, you guys. I mean, I'm looking at talking to everybody out here on Twitch.tv, of course, the Sports Byline USA channel, and on the radio here, is that once somebody's beat, they're beat. Do you really need to see them get killed or semi-close to being killed? I mean, because that's what's happening here. Guys are taking such a beating. Ortega's been off 2 years. It's not an accident. I mean, he had a couple of fights scheduled, and the corona or the COVID-19, I think, canceled a couple of things and a couple of dates for him. But he was a kid where you could have built the entire UFC around him. He was that good. I mean, he was good. Talk about outside of the ring as far as his starting, you know, charitable foundations, had the Mexican-American look to him. He could speak Spanish. He looked white. I mean, he had it all going for him. I kid you not. And then they put him in this death match, and okay, he's getting beat by a better guy than the world champion, Max Holloway, and I'm down with that. Okay, but don't let him get overbeat. That's the thing, the overbeating. I'm not down with the overbeating. I'm really not. Anyway, bottom line is, the UFC is rocking and rolling, of course, as to doing their thing in Dubai. They will come back to the United States, I think, for the 31st. That'll be the date after, of course, the 25th, when Khabib, of course, the monster at 155 pounds, the lightweight champion, will take on Justin Gaethje for the 155-pound championship, but he will step into the octagon at 180 pounds. I know, that sounds fair. Speaking of fair, let's switch gears altogether. Let's talk about something nice. Let's talk about Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee to me was like Kato. I don't know. I mean, on the Green Hornet. And before he did the movies, I used to watch him on TV. I mean, he was the coolest thing ever. And I think the Green Hornet only lasted one season or two seasons, but he was just the coolest dude ever. I mean, he had it going on. And everywhere but the United States, the Green Hornet was called the Kato Show. In every country but the United States, the Green Hornet was called the Kato Show. And Van Williams, who played the Green Hornet, great guy. I saw an interview with him, and he said that the American people weren't ready to name a TV show after an Asian actor like Bruce Lee at that point in time, 1965, 1966. Now, we fast forward to 1973. Of course, Bruce Lee dies. Everybody freaks out. How did he die? Chuck Norris tells us.
Bruce is, you know, was 32 years old. Let me explain something about his death, too, because there's, I guess, so many, you know, rumors that are going about how he passed away and so forth, about touch of death and drugs and so forth. And so I'd like to clarify that before we go on with the demonstration. Is Bruce, in 1968, you know, he's pretty heavy in the weightlifting, as you could tell. He was very well built. And he was lifting weights one night with Kareem Jabbar, who was a student of his when he was in Los Angeles playing at UCLA. And he tried to lift too heavy weights, and he ruptured the disc in his back, and he was laid up in the hospital for 3 weeks. In fact, the doctor said that they didn't know if he'd be able to walk again or not. But, of course, with a person like Bruce, who's got the drive and determination to achieve anything in life, he was up in about a month, and within 3 months, he was as strong as he ever was. But he had constant back pains from that day on, and he was having to take medication to keep the muscles in the back loose and relaxed. So what happened is that when he was in Hong Kong, preparing for his next movie, he was working with a girl named Betty, and who was going to co-star with him, and he got a severe headache. So Betty gave him some antibiotics for the headache, and with the medication he had taken for his back and the medication he had taken for his headache, they reacted to each other and made his brain swell up, and it created an aneurysm, or ruptured blood cells in his brain, and that's actually what happened. So if anyone asks you what happened, that you can tell them the true story.
Chuck Norris telling it like it is as far as the death of Bruce Lee was concerned. Of course, that was a big shock to the entire world as far as, you know, I mean, his movie fans, his MMA fans. And I think it sort of slowed the progress as far as mixed martial arts was concerned, because I think it would have become a bigger sport had Bruce Lee been able to stick around. I think that he would have been like the godfather of it. And not that he maybe would have been involved per se, but he would have been the face of mixed martial arts a whole lot before 1993. Of course, that's when UFC 1 went down. Of course, that was like a pirate type of thing. Nobody thought it was ever going to make any money. In fact, I was, you know, I mean, the UFC lost a lot of money until they did something called the Ultimate Fighter called, I think Forrest Griffin was in the main event. But outside of, before that, they were losing money. They lost $35 million. The Fertitta brothers, Frank and Lorenzo Fertitta, who own a string of casinos in Las Vegas, Nevada, called the Palace Station Casinos. They own those casinos. They had lost $35 million. They were looking to get out. They were dying to get out. They wanted to get out. They were willing to give the UFC away almost at one point in time. And then that one show on The Ultimate Fighter, of course, I think it was on, I forget what TV network it was on, but it sort of turned everything around for him, Spike TV. It sort of turned everything around for him. And from that point forward, the UFC started building fans and started making money and then started getting TV contracts. And before you know it, you know, it was a $4.2 billion entity. That's what it sold for about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now. $4.2 billion. In case you don't know, that's $4,200 million, according to my man Scott Cuddy. That's a lot of money, no doubt about it. Now, was it worth that kind of money? Hell no. Maybe they think they can get that back in 20 years, but the investment's not paying off thus far, I don't think. That's why they're having to do cards in Dubai. More power to them. I mean, they got the show rolling, but it's a pimp and hoe show, and you guys know about that. I can go into that in depth, but I don't want to. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. Want to say happy birthday to Wilfred Benitez. Of course, he was former world champion at 147 pounds, 154, but he won the title at 17 years old, and he's not fit for boxing anymore as far as his health is concerned. But the residual effects, they hit the birthday boy. Wilfred Benitez, happy birthday, if you can even understand it.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
And all these fighters that are, you know, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have the upside in the pay-per-view, you know?
That's Dana White, El Pimpo himself. That's my opinion, man. But if ever there was a pimp that should be arrested for hoeing people out, is Dana White of the UFC. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Looks like Jose Ramirez, fresh off that win over Victor Postal a fortnight ago. Of course, wasn't an impressive win in my mind. I think it was the majority decision. Postal did enough, but not enough to win. It's only one of those fights where you came to fight, but didn't fight enough. Anyway, Jose Ramirez, a winner there by a couple of points on two of the judges' cards. Anyway, evidently he's out with an injury. He's an over-fainter. If ever there was an over-fainter, he is an over-fainter. Guys, just He's always feigning. In other words, feint means like you're faking, you're faking, you're faking. No, no, throw. Just let your punches go. Let him throw. Bottom line is he needs to let him happen. There is boxing night, of course, ESPN Plus. Check out ESPN Plus. I don't want to get into the names on the card because they're tough on the verbally. But bottom line is some good fights tonight on ESPN Plus. Check out the card. Of course, the 19th, ESPN Plus comes back as well. And, of course, Showtime going to go on the 19th with a couple of guys for the WBC Super Welterweight Eliminator. I'm talking about Erickson Luban and Terrell Gaucha. That's going to go the 19th, of course. I think that an Al Haymon production. Speaking of Al Haymon, I wish that Premier Boxing Champions would get smart here, because putting the Charlo brothers at $74.95 on pay-per-view and only having 2 or 3 weeks to build up for it is like pay-per-view suicide. I mean, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine this fight making a dime. I just can't. You know, hey, I'm 2 weeks to promote, 3 weeks to promote, and you got a dog to promote. So you're promoting a star against a mark, and you expect people to spend $80 on that, especially in times of a depression or a recession. The bottom line is we're in trouble financially. They should be putting fights on TV for free and getting us to watch and getting sponsors to pay for that. That's the way boxing promotion should be going, like ESPN Plus. Straight up, that's the way boxing is going. I think ESPN Plus has got the best programming right now as far as boxing and MMA is concerned. For $5 or $10 a month, I think it's the best deal. Anyway, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You could have been anywhere in the world. The fact that you're here with us, well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. This is a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Ring Talk Live Worldwide airs Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline and, of course, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. The executive producer, the one, the only, Scott Cuddy. Don't forget, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, right here on Sports Byline.